All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read the last five verses. Beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, we're going to begin this morning teaching on missions, but this is not a new passage to most of you. And we're going to do a little bit different this morning. And we're going to let you to participate more than normal. Until you mess up, and then you'll get fired. But who was it? Somebody said we got during the singing that we got lost. Who was it that got lost? Because okay, well, I'll see you after church. Maybe we can get you saved. All right, enough of that. I have terrorists living at my house, or at least eating over at my house, so I have to. All right, we're going to ask who, what, where, why, and when. Questions, and if you don't participate, then we're going to break you in groups, and you'll participate more. But we're going to start out asking this morning some who questions: who is speaking, and to who is this speaking to? But first of all, what generally is this passage known as? The Great Commission. Okay. So who is speaking? All right. What's the significance of that? So what? It's Christ. What's the significance of that? Okay, he's a Savior. He's much more than just that. Who is Christ? Or is God? It's important we listen when God talks. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable, so that we know that all the Bible is from the Lord. But we have specifically Jesus, God in the flesh, saying some things here that's important and vitally important. And I think that too often we come to the Bible in a nonchalant way, especially when we've been saved for a while, and we just look at the words of the Bible. But these are instructions from the God of creation. These are very, very important words. And so it's pretty easy to see here who he's speaking to who's speaking, because it says there in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Okay, now, who is being spoken to? 11 disciples. Everybody agree with that? The church? Who said church? Prove it. What does that say? And so you're saying that these 11 are apostles? And that he said first in the church, apostles. Okay? So we have the speaker is God in Christ Jesus. And who he's speaking to, Frank said, the disciples, and of course it says that, but the disciples are more than just individuals. And why can't it just be the disciples? Okay, if it was just given to the disciples, then when the disciples died, well, haven't you heard of apostolic succession? can it be apostolic succession? Apostolic, there are groups of, quote, Christians that believe that apostleship was passed on to other individuals. That's apostolic succession. Why couldn't that be true? Okay, where do we find that at? When they wanted to replace Judas, right? In Acts chapter, the first chapter there, they had to accompany with Jesus from the baptism and until his death. And so there's nobody that's alive that was baptized by John. And so you can't have apostolic succession and be true to the Bible. People claim that, but it's not. And so we're talking about the disciples, and the disciples have fallen off the scene. And so Brother Gerst says that 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 tells us that the Lord set, God set in the church apostles. And so we have the connection here that the apostles are members of the first church, is what you're trying to tell me. And so there's many different ways we could go here, but in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 1, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in most parts of the world." And the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. And anybody that's ever read or knows anything will understand from the commentaries that the church, you say that this was, he's speaking to the church, but the church didn't come into existence until the day of Pentecost. In fact, C.I. Schofield, who is a very, very prominent theologian who put notes in the Schofield Bible, says that the visible church, that the visible church did not receive a commission, that this commission is given to individuals because the visible church didn't come into existence until after Matthew chapter 28. And so you're telling me that this is a church, but the church really didn't come into existence until the day of Pentecost. You're shaking your head no, but one man's opinion. What? Okay. Well, he did build his church on the day of Pentecost. Prove to me the church was in existence before Pentecost. All right, what are they? Okay. What did he say? Church discipline? Okay. Any other evidence that the church is in existence? They had a crook. I don't know. He's the one talking. He's the treasure. he's grown, too. All right. Did we have a baptism before the day of Pentecost? Yep. Did we have the Lord's Supper before Pentecost? Yep. In Acts chapter 2 also, after the church business meeting, went on the day of Pentecost, when people were saved, what happened? And the Lord added unto them. Okay, so we're saying that although he's talking to the 11 represent are representatives of the church, and in fact, what do we suppose as far as the membership of this group of people on the day of Pentecost? How many? Do we have anything that tells us? Okay, there's 120. And I think we also need to explore out a little bit here. What exactly, you guys are saying that the Lord put in the church the apostles, the Lord in Acts 1 Corinthians 12:28. What exactly is a church? A called out assembly. All right. Huh? I mean, they had a called out assembly over here the other night at the North Pole when they had a council meeting. The Holy Spirit didn't build a church on Pentecost. Okay. This one. Okay, Christ built his church. The word assembly means, church means assembly. A real technical definition is that it's a called out assembly organized to carry out the Lord's work, okay? And so we understand here that when he's speaking here in Matthew chapter 28, he's speaking to the church, and it's a called out assembly. Okay, so okay. Well, I think also Thomas was still doubting, and when he finally saw the Lord, then he said, "My Lord and my God." Yeah, I don't know if it seemed like the first appearance that Thomas wasn't there in their midst. Yeah. Okay. So I think we've got a little bit straightened out here. And that is, God Himself is speaking, and He's speaking to His church, and they're called out assemblies. And so what we have is, here's a church at Jerusalem. The church of Jerusalem goes down to Samaria, and there's a church, and there's people saved down at Samaria. A church is started there. There's people are scattered on Acts chapter 8, and some of them go as far as Antioch, preaching the word. And there, the Bible says that with purpose of that, Barnabas came down, and with purpose of heart, they cleaved unto the Lord. And so we find local assembly, and then in Acts, the Acts church, Acts 13, this church at Antioch sends out Paul and Barnabas, and they start churches in Asia Minor, and they start churches in Europe. But every one of these is a local assembly, and we're not to see it as this church. Only if we say the word church to reference to all these local assemblies, it would only be like in an institutional sense, like the car is the major transportation in America. The word car would be used in an institutional or a sense. But every one of these churches had this command up here to go to make disciples. Every one of these churches that were started is responsible for that command. And during time, some of these churches were died out because of different things. But this line goes on and on and on and on, and usually it's a line that's marked by a trail of blood. But so it's to the church. Now, when we say that, I think that I've said all this, pointed this out here, because when we say it's given to the church, I think immediately our mind goes to universal, invisible. even though we might not believe that, it's given to a church, okay? And to get more specific, it's given to this church, okay? And so we've asked who, okay? So what? What exactly is being asked of us or told us here? Huh? Okay. Go teaching, make disciples. Anybody else going to say anything? Baptizing. Okay, and so so let's just break down some words here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. from just what Brother Demo said, I understand he knows this question, so he can be quiet. What's the command of this verse? Who thinks it's go? Not go? We're not to go? Who thinks the command is go? Come on, you got to vote. Oh, if it's not go, what is it? Okay. Okay. Okay, so the command of this verse is the word teach, which means to, you know, has the context of making other disciples. And with the word go, it's really a participle. It's going and then baptizing and teaching. And then this funny little word, lo. You know, lo. We're out hunting and this bear's coming down the hill. Lo, there's a bear coming. What's lo? Well, we'll we'll look at it. See, I have to do that to keep the back row awake, okay? All right, teach. So why isn't go the command? Really, go is a participle, baptizing and teaching, a form of a verb form, but with a noun characteristics. I'm just trying to snowball you here. I really don't know grammar at all, but I do know that the command is to make disciples. Okay, so. What is he commanding us here? He's saying going, baptizing, and teaching. Is there any significance to, how do we make disciples? This is first, teach means to make disciples. It's different from this teaching here. How do you make disciples? Okay, the gospel. What does Romans 10:17 say? Okay, so the word of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we go forth preaching the gospel. I was listening on the radio. There's lots of junk on the radio, but there's this woman that was interviewing this guy who was an evangelist, and he made this statement. He said, it kind of shocked her. But he said, "I've never led anyone to the Lord." And he'd been known for a very good evangelism. He said, "I've never led anyone to the Lord." But he clarified himself and said, "It's always the Holy Spirit that leads people to the Lord." But I've been used of the Lord in giving out the gospel, and the Lord has led people to Himself. And so. Were to give out the gospel, to teach them. But why is this word, why is not go? Why didn't the Lord say, a goal. Why is it teach is the command? Why didn't he command them to go? He's saying going. In, as you go, as Brother Gerst said, in going. But why wouldn't the command be go? I mean, we get up here and on Wednesday night, Pastor talks about, you know, once a month we have our Great Commission Day and you need to be there. Go. We need to go. We need to go. We need to go. Why didn't the Lord command go? Yeah. I think the Lord was, I mean, this is just my thought, but I think the Lord would imagine that if we have been born again, if we really know what it means to be lost and to be saved, it would never enter into our heart and mind not to give out the gospel, not to go. And so he's saying, in going, make disciples. So is there any significance to this order here? Could teaching been number one? Or could baptism been number one? Is there any significance to the order? Do what? Okay. Well, if baptism follows salvation, why do the Lutherans sprinkle their babies? Huh? Misinformed. Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know necessarily they believe it's saving the child, but they do think it has some. See, you got to understand that you have to understand Presbyterian and a lot of the Protestants. You see, in the Old Testament, the babies were circumcised to make them a part of the covenant. And once they were part of the covenant to Israel, then the promises that were given to Israel, they entered into that. And so when we come to the New Testament, because circumcision is so barbaric, what we really need to do is we need to baptize our infants. And in baptizing our infants, it puts them in the covenant, the new covenant, and makes them more likely to be born again and come to the Savior. And so basically in the New Testament, baptism has just replaced circumcision. Makes sense? Well, it does to them, but it doesn't to the Bible. Because baptism has no saving qualities, does it? But it is important. And so when we teach people, we baptize them because in baptism, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, but baptism helps picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It also is a prerequisite for church membership and identification with Christ. And then after they're baptized, they're placed in the church, and we're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded. And boy, that's a great deal requirement there. We're saying who? God's church, God speaking, this is the church. What are we to do? We're to go give out the gospel, counting on the Holy Spirit that His word will not return void. He's promised that His word will not return void, but will accomplish what He sent it to do. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And so, you know, don't sell out the gospel. We're in a day when we need to do things to attract the multitudes. There's this new term. I don't know if it's really been defined in my mind, but we need to reach the millennials. Even pastors use the word millennials. Well, who are the millennials anyway? I mean, I was born in the millennium someplace. The millennials, who's the millennials? The ones that's come into the 2000-something, huh? Okay? And if you haven't, if you don't know that yet, the millennials are weird. And we have to reach them. And so different church programs are doing things to try to reach the millennials. But one of the things that they're saying on the radio about millennials is they're searching for truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I found out a long time ago I'm not that charismatic, and people don't really come to Black Road Baptist Church because Humphrey's preaching. But it's the Word of God. And the gospel is the power of God into salvation. And that, and don't think for once, don't think for a single moment that that we're not energized. Because the Spirit of God is powerful. The gospel is powerful. I'm not saying we ought to be bums when we come to church or things like that, but I'm saying we ought to be Christians and we ought to give out the gospel. And we can count on the gospel to save souls in the first century and in the 21st century. And so we're to preach the gospel. Okay, who, what, where, when? Okay, we kind of covered when, but let's go back and look at that again. When was this given? When was these words spoken? When? Huh? Before the Lord went to heaven. So is that significant? Huh? Last words on earth? Maybe Acts chapter 1 verse 11 was his last words, but it was his last instructions to them. It's a man is dying, and his last words carry more weight. And so not only is it weighty, very weighty, because it's the Lord, but it's weighty because he wants them, and he left them with a job to do. You know, I like coming to church. I like visiting with Christians. I like hanging around Christians. I like eating food after morning services. Well, let me tell you something. We have a job to do. And it's an urgent job. It's a job where the clock is ticking for some souls. And Lord, when he gave this, he wasn't giving them a hug and saying, I'm not going to see you until you come to the kingdom, till you die, and I'll see you then. No, there's something happening here where the Lord is concerned for souls. We have a job to do. So when is important. If not now, when? And if not us, who? You know who first said that? If not now, when? If not us, who? You know who said that? Anybody know who said that? John Fitzgerald Kennedy. About our country trying to advance and go to the moon. And a nation and a people can give themselves over to foolishness. I mean, so went to the moon. So what? But this command is not from President Kennedy. It's from the Lord. And if not now, when will we be involved in missions? If not now, if not even this morning, if not today, when we'll be involved. And if we don't get involved, then who's going to get involved? Who are we going to pitch it over to? Say, it's their job. Who's going to do it? It's very obvious it's our job. And so I just say those words to say, to tell you this, that there's no there's no squeezing out of this. There's no wiggle room here. And I don't know exactly what's going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ. I do know that the candlestick can be removed from a church. And I do know that when I, in my little bit of capacity where I work, when I tell someone to do the job, to do a job, and it comes back and it's not done, then that I'm not a happy camper. But the Lord is not doing this just in a business fashion as a workplace, but He looked out on the world in Matthew chapter 9, or Mark chapter, I think it's Matthew 9, and He was moved with compassion because He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And so the when is important. So who, what, when, where? How about the where? Not necessarily the where for where it was. We know it was in Palestine. But where? Where does this command apply? Verse 19, what does it say? All nations. Okay? All nations. I heard a preacher preach at in a Roger Baptist church in Garland, Texas, and he said, we don't need to be going to the world until we take care of our Jerusalem. But what does Acts chapter 1, verse 8 say? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in uttermost parts of the world. I know this is going to be a surprise to you, but God loves the Syrian just as much as He loves you. He loves the people of Lebanon just as much as He loves you. That America is only elite in God's eyes. As elite as any other nation is. America can only be blessed because they follow the principles of God's word. And so, we live here in in Alaska, one of the, I think Wyoming's less populated than we are. I come from a small town in eastern Oregon. And I think that if we're not careful, our little universe is right here. and I think that one of the things about mission conferences is that there's a really big world out there, and we have a really big God who wants us to reach all of it. Okay, who, what, where, when? How much time I got? Huh? 15 minutes? Boy. I got to reform here. Who, what, where, when, why? Why? Okay. 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 Do what? Yeah. How are they going to hear without a preacher? Okay. So we know the reason why is because God loved the world. Christ died for the world. The world needs a Savior. That mankind is living under, he's condemned already. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. The man is in a condemned state. He's not in trial stage. He's not in a place where he can try to do his best and see what happens. But man is condemned already. He's on death row. What kind of history would the Iditarod have when the serum came from the coast and up the railroad that came as far as Nenana, and the dog teams were ready in Nenana, and they mushed up the trail and switched off with another one? What kind of history would Nome have had, because diphtheria was in Nome and they needed the serum? What kind of history would it have been for Alaska if the third mushing team decided, you know what? There's lots of marten in this country. I think I'm going to stop and go trapping. This will wait. I got to make some money. What would you call that? The height of, what would you call that? Selfish? It's criminal. It'd be criminal. Souls were waiting to have the serum so they could live. It'd be criminal. Would it not? And is it not criminal to say, you know what? I got to take care of myself. I got to deal with myself. You know, I got my own problems. I got a family to feed. Giving to missions? What are you talking about? Helping out a missionary, praying for missionaries. Boy, there's lots in the Bible about praying for missionaries. Concerned? How can I be concerned for Tyre and Sidon where Noah's at when my car's got serious front end problems? And whether we say it in these words or not, we're saying, just let them go to hell. I don't care. This serum doesn't need to get to Nome. Those people got themselves in their situations, and the marten are running around the ground here like I've never seen before. And man, I can clean up. Okay. So, where, when, why? And now, how? OK, Caleb said, how can they hear without a preacher? How are we going to do what this is asking us to do? How are we going to do it? Huh? Yeah, we'll go get to that. How can it be done? Well, this word lo, we looked up here and we saw that this word teaches a command, but this word lo is also a command. There's two imperatives in this verse, two commands in the verse. One is teach, go make disciples. And the second one is lo, or behold. He commands us to behold, to understand, to look. And lo, what? I am with you always. But the how part of this is, the how part of this is that through the power of the Spirit of God, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that He's with us. You know, I have a book at the house where a man pastored in Virginia, in the back out in the woods, and then in a city too. And the title of the book is "Then Came Jesus," and how at different times he would be witnessing to people. Some of them he witnessed to for over a year, making friends, and then came Jesus. That, lo, I'm with you always, into the end of the age. How can a church of our size have a missionary on the field in Lebanon? Because God did it. And God can sustain him there. Okay, so we understand that. Okay, we understand the how. We understand that we must rely upon the power of God. But for God's own reason, He didn't send angels to do the job. The angels could have evangelized the world. But God has chosen mankind to do the job. And God has also given mankind a free will. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You may pay for it, but you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And so how? Well, we got a job to do. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Who's going to do it? We got a job to do. You know what that means? It means something that you don't like. I know you don't like it. It means seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What's first in your life? Does God have a right to come along and tip over your apple cart that you've been pulling around and you've been pushing and you've been slaving and you've been schooling and you've been preparing and, you know, you got this, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have three kids, that's probably enough. Five's way too many. And 8, that's just astronomical. And I'm going to have a nice little house and a white picket fence around the front. I like picket fences. And I'll have a beagle, just one, because 2 of them run off. And I'm going to have it made. And and the world can go to hell. What am I saying? If you're a child of God, God has the right to come today and say, forsake all you have and follow me. Follow me. You see, if today, I'm not saying God's calling you today, but today, if you cannot surrender and say, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go. If you can't join in with Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I, send me, then you're still part of this command. We're still trying to teach you all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded you. You haven't got it yet. You just haven't got it. And you're still part of the mission process. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to leave nice climate, eastern Oregon, and come to the frozen wasteland of Alaska? Absolutely. Because the Lord was in it all. And so as a church, I'm not saying he'll call you to preach. He does call you to share the gospel where you can and when you can. But what are you doing? What are you doing to aid this church in fulfilling what's been asked of us? Are you praying? Yeah, right. Every time before I eat, I say, Lord, bless the missionaries. Thank you for this food. Amen. Well, a conversation with God ought to be a little more than that, and a conversation with me should be more than that. Are you giving? I got a house payment. Well, here's the problem. We haven't understood this. That God owns everything. And he's just given you to be a steward over what he owns. And you know what? The guy who owns the property can come and get it anytime he wants to. It's his. And he's blessed you with health and wealth. What are you doing? What are we going to do? We've got a job to do. And remember when he says, Lo, I'm with you always. This is a job. This is a job that we have to do where we get to work with a wonderful partner and a glorious king. And you know what? This building here one day, as time goes on, it's going to rot and fall. All that I've accomplished is going to be forgotten. In 100 years, they'll say, who was Gene Humphrey? Who? Who was he? But a soul that's saved is a soul for eternity. And so, we just tried to bring you the first thing here today is that we have a job to do. It's been laid out very clearly, and it's for local New Testament churches. Now, we know that there's other New Testament churches round about that's doing the job, and we know that this commission was not given to a school. It was not given to an association of churches. It was not given to a fellowship of churches, what was given to our church. And here's the amazing thing. There's 120 people, we suppose, it says. I suppose that they were all members because they gave that 120 for a reason. And the Lord's looking at this 120, and he's saying, I got a job for you to do. I want you to go to all the world. We're 120 people. He said, I want you to go to all the world. But Lord, you don't understand. Where's the 120 people? But the Lord did understand. And what he understood is that our vision needs to be massive and wide, and that this 120 can reproduce themselves, and they'll reproduce themselves, and they'll reproduce themselves, and they'll reproduce themselves. And we need to do what we can where we're at and beyond. And let the Holy Spirit take care of that and lead us. But we got to do something. And so, you know, we're going to have an emphasis on missions. But listen, when a church ceases to look beyond themselves, when a church just focuses inward, when a church doesn't support missions or pray for missionaries. You see, here's what I really believe. I think the normal thing ought to be every church has its own missionaries that they're sending out. And what you need to understand, all you families, we need to understand we need a total mind change. That you daddies and you mamas ought to be preparing material that God could call and use as a missionary. But we're just not trying to make them the greatest workers. We're just not trying to prepare them for a good engineering job. Or, I'm sorry, Josh is an engineer. Well, let the Holy Spirit work however you want. No, I'm just saying, we're not just preparing them for a good job in the future, but we ought to prepare them to be used of the Lord. There's only one set of feet that's pretty in the Bible. The Bible says there's nothing good, no, not once. We know that. The only thing that's pretty in the Bible is the feet of a man who's taking the gospel to the world. But my point is this, is that a church needs to be of the mindset that it's an incubation place for preachers. The preachers are being prepared. And I personally believe that we ought to begin to be grieved and burdened when God's not calling. And so you know what that means? That means that the greatest minds often go. I don't think there's a guy with a higher IQ and greater ability and more discipline in his life than Noah George in our church. And God took him. Praise the Lord that he could be used of the Lord in the country of Lebanon. Let's pray that our children can be used of God, both here and there. You know what? When it says, pray, Lord of the harvest, pray that he might send forth laborers into the harvest, that's not always a way across the sea. Laborers right here. Be involved right here. Get busy right here because we have a job to do. When the Moravians who had some good soundness about them, got on the boat to leave to go to a leper colony in the West Indies from Moravia, was over in Germany area. The church of Moravians came down to see these two men get on the boat to leave. And they knew that once they got to the leper colony that they would be there for life, because they couldn't leave because of the leprosy. And of course, their relatives and friends were on the docks, no doubt, tears streaming down their face. And a boat pulled out to sail. And the two young men went to the side of the boat and yelled out, "May our Lord receive the reward for his suffering." And they went to give the gospel that our great Savior could receive honor and glory. We have a job to do. Okay? You're dismissed.